We're watching closely as Israel and Hamas inch closer to a deal, which reportedly would call for a pause in the fighting, as well as a swap of hostages in Gaza for Palestinian prisoners in Israel. The deal being brokered by Qatar, the Israeli war cabinet meeting on it now. We're hoping to go to the region in just a moment.
Yeah, first, in the House of Representatives, members are expected to vote as early as next week to vote on expelling George Santos. The New York Republican has a rather elastic relationship with facts, facts about his career, his money, his federal reports, according to a House Ethics Committee report. Santos now says he will not seek re-election, though he is under criminal indictment. If he is expelled, our next guest says it won't matter much. Julian Zelizer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. Hi, Julian.
Hi, it's nice to be back with you.
Good to have you. So Congress next week may kick out a notorious liar, but you say George Santos is a symptom, not the actual problem. What do you mean?
Yeah, I think there's a tendency to look at what happens if you expel one member of the Republican Party for this kind of behavior. But I think he reflects a shift we've seen in the GOP over the decades in terms of willingness to say things that are not true, to traffic in disinformation, and to depend on a huge media ecosystem that supports that. So if he goes away, there'll be others. And just look at the top of the Republican ticket right now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little first about the Santos case. The House Ethics Committee report is damning. It says he blatantly stole from his campaign. He lied about, say, having an MBA from NYU. His Wall Street experience, refused to cooperate with investigators looking into his alleged lies. Santos waves this away as political smear. And I want to ask, what does his response tell you?
Well, I think he's listening to former President Trump, who whenever investigated, whenever he found himself under criticism, attacked the criticizer, attacked the investigator, and just waved everything off as smear or partisan garbage, so to speak. But I think the record here is so extensive and so dramatic that it had an effect, and Republicans in Long Island were nervous enough about their fragile seats to side against him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Santos has survived a little while in the House. His Republican Party has had a thin majority, needed his vote. Now, though, many think these new revelations will force the GOP, his fellow Republicans, to toss him overboard. Surely the party publicly will claim the moral high ground if that happens, yeah?
Of course, and that's part of the purpose of this, but it's important to remember the history. And you can go back to something like the birther movement in 2011 and 12 to just remind ourselves that this has been going on in different manifestations. And so, again, removing him doesn't actually remove the problem and the character of the Republican Party. And we're seeing this in the Republican primary, where the former president, who does this all the time, is doing incredibly well.
Yeah, help us understand how you see the broader structure, the scaffolding, I guess, for lying in American politics. What are the pieces of the structure as you see it?
Some of it's a guardrail issue. I think politicians in the past had a sense that there was so far you could go with lying, or that you had to hide yourself when you're doing something like this. And I think the guardrails have fallen away. I do think the former president had an impact by just saying things in the open that were not rooted in fact, and kind of got away with it. Part of it is a conservative media world, which ranges from cable television to social media, which, when a politician says something, will repeat that and reward the politician for doing so. And part of it is an electorate, finally, in some of red state of America that just doesn't mind this, even when they know what's being said is not true. They're more interested in kind of partisan power for their officials rather than strict adherence to the truth.
Yeah. Your argument, Julian, is that, you know, this is a red state thing, that the culprit here is the Republican Party today. Historically, you know, has this structure, this allowance of lying been, I don't know, a more bipartisan enterprise?
Or the bipartisan resistance to just excessive lying. Look, both parties have people who don't tell the truth, who lie, but I do think there's been an asymmetry recently, where one party has just moved much farther into extreme territory on this issue than the other. And part of it is just a democratic determination to protect governance and protect a government that is central to their agenda. And Republicans have been more willing to embrace a chaotic kind of politics that suits their agenda.
Yeah. Julian, a couple seconds. This is Thanksgiving. Give us a little hope here.
Well, we have gone through periods of reform before, and we've had bad times and gotten better, and we can do it again.
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. Julian, thanks so much. Have a great holiday.
You too. Thanks for having me.